cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys a the King of the Road there by Roger Miller, first choice of tonight's session artist, Kinky Friedman. Welcome, Kinky, and fellow, well, is it the Texas Jew Boys now?
Hey, Mark Welts, what's left of them? This is Ratso on my left wing, Washington Ratso.
I've read so much about you, Ratso, it's nice to
see you
in various novelettes or novellas.
And I'm a right wing here. Well, Ratso, there's actually two Ratzos. I'm a two Ratso man.
Oh,
this is Washington Ratso. He's a little Lebanese boy.
Right.
In the band, and he and I have been playing since Christ was a cowboy. I think
still is a cowboy kink.
That's right. We met on the gangplank of Noah's Ark. And on my right wing is a little Juford. He's a Jew and he drives a Ford.
That's right. That would be me.
And Juford is an idiot savant on the keyboards.
Also would be me.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Kinky.
Did you, little Juford? Did you buy a Ford just to match your name, or is that how the name came about?
It's a natural evolution.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Roger Miller is a fine choice because I think that song is you know, a lot of people see it as a kind of novelty song, and a lot of people see a lot of what you do as novelty stuff, but you are both capable of immense beauty. And I think that song's a very beautiful song as well.
Oh, you got it, Mark. That song, I think King of the Road, is one of the most perfectly written songs. And the story of how he wrote it is passing a trailer park in Chattanooga, and it was written in like an incandescent flash. The song was written very quickly. He contends that it was written in about 11 seconds, the music and the words.
Yeah.
And then he kind of fleshed it out just a little bit later. But I think the really great songs are written that way.
Yeah. Do you feel the same? I mean, have you sure. pondered for months on a song and it's just not worked out, or do they just come?
The ones that come quickly are the result of misery, self-pity, tragedy, divorce, alcohol, drugs, all the things that make country music great.
Yeah, well, you've just summed up life.
Yeah, I mean
certainly for everyone that listens to this show.
Look, a happy American creates nothing great, okay?
Oh, that's true.
Nothing. That and a happy Brit now the Irish, I guess, are not that happy, so they produce some great stuff. The Irish and the Jews kind of have that's Brendan Behan, who said the Irish and the Jews do not share a culture, they share a psychosis.
A common
but
misery.
We're getting a little off the track.
Well, it's not so much Irish. I think it's probably the Catholics and Jews, because they both, you know,
if
they strive
for guilt.
If I weren't
a Jew, I'd be a Catholic.
Oh, it's nice to have a backup religion.
It is. That's kind of my backup religion.
I like that idea a lot.
Well, may the God of your choice bless you.
Yeah, and also the second God of your choice.
Right.
There's no point just not having a backup religion and the second God's not aware of it. You've got to put that, you know, second X in the ballot box.
Well, it's absolutely true. I'm a Judeo-Christian. Jesus and Moses are both in my heart. They're two good Jewish boys who got in a little trouble with the government. And they're heroes of mine.
Well, we'll talk about trouble with
let's
the government
not get too
later
religious.
On in the show. No, let's not.
No.
Because I'm not a believer, and I'm not sure that you are.
Well, I'm a Jehovah's bystander, you know. I think there might be a God, but I just don't want to get involved.
Yeah, I didn't see nothing. what's the first track you're going to do for us tonight?
Well, it's right on the track here of Silver Eagle Express, as requested.
My favorite.
Coming at you. Lose the track of time and let it flow back. Stoke the ancient furnace into flames. Running barefoot in the cinders of the Mopac. Hopping bedtime rides with the outlaw Jesse James. And I'd ride the Silver Eagle to the last town on the line. Railroad ties are not my friend, the kind of ties that bind. Watch the troubled countryside gently fall away. Silver Eagle, hold me, guide me. Roll me homeward from today. Tonight my heart's a worn and weary vessel. Been a hauling dreams that never seem to last. once I slept upon a trembling trestle. Woke up lost across the rusty lifelines to the past. And I'd ride the Silver Eagle to the last town on the line. Railroad ties are not my friend, the only ties that bind. Watch the troubled countryside gently fall away. Silver Eagle, hold me, guide me. Roll me homeward from today. And freedom's only station to station. A paper suitcase on the track of time. Ain't hard to tell a hard luck situation. Ain't hard to tell a homeless country poet out of rhyme. I'm gonna ride the Silver Eagle to the last town on the line. There's nothing to remember if there's nothing to remind. From the gentle Texas sunshine to the Colorado snow, ain't no one here to hold you, boy. When the good Lord let you go.
That's such a beautiful song. What is the last town on the line of the Silver Eagle Express?
What is the last town on the line?
Is it, that is an actual train line, I'm guessing.
Well, that's a good one. I really don't know. The last town on the line would probably be Clarksville.
Really?
No, I have no idea.
Okay. No, it sounded right. You could have said, yeah, it's definitely to Clarksville.
I'm not sure Silver Eagle Express, I think, is a bus line.
Oh, okay. So that's it could. So then the end of that line could be absolutely anywhere.
That's correct.
It's a metaphor for life.
It could end at any time during this interview, Mark, actually.
It could end up where?
During this interview. This could be the end of it.
Yeah, it could well be.
No, that song is...
Just because it says railroad ties, I was assumed...
Oh,
it
yeah,
was
it's a train. It is a train song. Right, it's my train song. And of course, I think you were probably jumping rope in the schoolyard when I wrote that.
I probably was, yeah, yeah.
And I was probably selling dope in the schoolyard.
thank God this is our meeting. It wasn't then.
Well, it's very insightful of you to select that tune, Mark, and it shows something about you.
It's my one of many favorites, but that's the one that is such a catchy song.
There's a complexity of character in yourself.
But you have to say that because you wrote it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like a pearl in the snow. It's one of these lost little songs, you know what I mean?
Is it a rite of passage for any Texan to have to write the train song?
It seems to be. You know, there's a lot of...
That's a good point.
Train songs that have gone out of style. Boy, there are a lot of them, aren't there?
But it should be a requirement for voting in Texas that you've written a train song. Or at least you know all the lyrics to someone else's train song.
That's
because
right.
Otherwise you can't really qualify yourself as a Texan, can you?
No, you can't, and that's why we call it polytics, you know. Poly means more than one, and ticks are blood-sucking parasites.
we should discuss for a moment. I said last week on the show, completely wrong, that you were running for mayor of Austin. That's well beneath your
size. Oh, no, that's...
So that's nothing. You could get
small
that.
Time.
Yeah, exactly. You're actually running for governor of Texas.
Governor of Texas, and of course the voters returned me to the private sector, but I ran as an independent, which is the first time that's been done since Sam Houston 159 years ago.
Wow. That is correct, Kinky, yes.
159 years ago.
And did he win?
He won.
So the parallels end there, I'm guessing.
But, that's right. But they had to drag Sam out from under a bridge. He was drunk, sleeping with the Indians at the time to get him to
run. Oh, the parallels don't end there.
Yeah, and he was happier, actually, before he ran for governor. But as far as I'm concerned, running as an independent was an interesting thing to do, but you have to be a Crip or a Blood if you want to have a chance to win.
So right, yeah.
Texas makes it very, very hard to be an independent. Texas wants, all of America wants no new ideas, no new people, no new blood. And that's why Obama and I, Obama, as I say, is a fine Irish lad. And Obama and I share one desire, and that is to throw the money changers out of the temple.
No, let's hope, you know, it works out for at least one of you.
Well, no.
One would be great for me. Both would be nice.
All right, but let me not to say, because I do like McCain. McCain is just about old enough to hide his own Easter eggs right now, you know, and I look up to him for wisdom and advice. I'm 63 years old, which is too young for Medicare and too old for women to care, but I still care, and John McCain does too.
All right, well, so, you, again, like your backup god, you've got both, you know, you're trying to woo both sides of the party on a show that they'll never hear.
Well, I'm just very neutral. I'm neutral like the great civil rights leader Al Sharpton. You know, I want to remain neutral in case I'm called upon to mediate this thing later down the line.
It may well happen. Let's see. What's the next track you're going to do for us?
The next track is actually fits right in here, because how about Sold American?
Ooh.
Because it's a song about a songwriter. Faded, jaded, fallen cowboy star. Pawn shops itching for your old guitar. Where you going? Ain't nobody knows. The sequins have fallen from your clothes. Once you heard the Opry crowd applaud, now you're hanging out at 4th and Broad. On a rain-wept sidewalk, remembering the time when coffee with a friend was still a dime. Everything's been sold American. The early times is finished, and the one ads all are red. Everyone's been sold American. Been dreaming dreams in a rollaway bed. Writing down your memoirs on some window in the frost. Roulette eyes reflecting another morning lost. Hauled in by the metro for killing time and pain, with a singing brakeman screaming through your veins. Everything's been sold American. The lonely night is mourning for the death it never died. Everyone's been sold American. Don't let me catch you laughing when the jukebox cries. You told me you were born so much higher than life, but I've seen the faded pictures of your children and your wife. Now they're fumbling through your wallet, and they're trying to find your name. It's almost like they raised the price of fame. And everything's been sold American. No place to go, and brother, no place to stay. Everyone's been sold American. Let heaven's golden greyhound roll your soul away. Let heaven's golden greyhound roll your soul away.
Kinky Friedman and the remnants of the Texas Jew Boys with Sold American. A track written, what, 30-something years ago?
Yeah, the track is older than most of the listeners, probably, and that's, as we say, probably the way it should be.
But very, very, very contemporary. So are you particularly prescient? Are you ahead of your time, or have things just not changed that much?
Prescient. I think the song is more meaning has accrued to this song over the years. And more political meaning has. It was really written as a straight-out song about a dying country star that had fallen from fame.
And, was it written about a real one?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. A guy Well, it's happened to a hell of a lot of country stars. I mean, it's, you know, it could be almost anybody.
But you looked like you were just about to mention who it was and then thought,
well, Lyle Lovett has got a great version of this. He's recorded this, and he says it's about everybody, really. Because if you look deeply enough into yourself, you see everybody else, and we're all part of one big soul and so forth. But basically, I think what it now means to me is that America and England, the whole UK, we're all turning into a condo association, you know? I mean, we're political correctness and all this homogenization, and America's become homogenized and sanitized and trivialized, and we've become a chain people with all these chain restaurants and chain stores. And really the most beautiful gift that America has to offer is freedom of expression, freedom to be different, freedom to be who you are. And that's getting destroyed by all this sameness and political correctness.
And you know, people always blame it. Everywhere in the world, they blame it on America. It's actually corporate America they should be blaming it on, not necessarily the American people.
Yeah, I can't believe we're falling for it. I just can't believe that America is... because, you know, America is really very beautiful. In fact, we live a little too close to the pyramids. Jufrid, we don't realize how beautiful we are.
You are very correct about that, Kinky.
I knew that was coming.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Kinky.
She'll be gone a long, long time.
Hello, What Was That? By Willie Nelson, second choice of tonight's session artist, Kinky Friedman. Was that the right version, by the way? Because he recorded that quite a few times.
Early Willie, before he became the hillbilly Dalai Lama.
That's absolutely right.
But, yeah, that's just a beauty. That's real songwriting. I mean, I think he and Roger Miller probably are the best examples of that. It's just brilliantly written. Yeah, it's a great song.
As well, you know, isn't that one of those ones he wrote within, you know, the day that he wrote Crazy and, you know,
I think he was a pig farmer in Nashville, and he tried to commit suicide lying in the middle of the highway, you know, and all this stuff, and all these crazy adventures took place then. And that's when Roger Miller gave up and wrote that his last album called Roger and Out, you know, and both of them were not doing real well. And to imagine stuff this good, of course, that's all, you know, I mean, that was the old style, and Nashville never got Willie, never understood him.
Is Willie the reason Austin is Austin? It's always been my theory that, you know, him becoming the sort of the face or voice of Austin.
Well, I think it is, yeah. He says that he just jumped in front of the right parade, you know, he got the, when the rednecks and the hippies were going to coalesce, and he was there at the Armadillo World Headquarters, and that's when it happened. I don't know about that, but I do think he definitely is Texas's gift to the world. And you cannot tell what Willie's political beliefs are when he's on stage. He never would do something, you know, like the Dixie Chicks or something, although he said a lot worse in interviews. But on stage, you can't tell that. And in fact, he is far to the left of me. And quite a bit higher than me, actually. And, we were politically, as far as what Willie thinks. I can remember we were on the bus one time before the Iraqi invasion. And Willie was just a very strong voice against the invasion. He was arguing against it, and I was arguing for it. Because I thought at the time that if we knock off a dictator here, you know, maybe the other dictators will look over their shoulders. Maybe it's time we knocked off a bad guy. And but Willie definitely was against it, and the vast majority of the people in the world, I think, now agree with Willie. And at the time, he was smoking a joint about the size of a large kosher salami, and I was just not able to communicate, to get through to him, you know. And finally, I just said, look, Willie, the guy is a tyrannical bully, and we've got to take him out. And Willie said, no, he's our president, and we've got to stand by him.
I guess they don't come along, you know, too often in anyone's life, a Willie Nelson.
Well, you know, Willie's a guy I try to put myself in. He's another guy I admire, like Bob Dylan, because they're older, and, you know, they're still doing this. And most of the people I think that both of them loved and respected are dead. You know, most of their heroes are gone. And, you know, I ask Willie who he most admired, who his style is based after, and what do you say, Frank Sinatra, right?
That is correct,
yes. He said Frank Sinatra. And, of course, then he says Sinatra got his stuff from who was it? Billie Holiday, was it?
Billie Holiday and Bing Crosby.
And then Billie Holiday says she got her style from Louis Armstrong's horn. So that's where it started, I guess, Satchmo's horn.
That's where it all
began.
That's
where Willie Nelson started.
And who was it for you? Who were the who set you off on the path?
Me? I don't know. I'm kind of you know that old Tom T. Hall song, The Year That Clayton Delaney Died?
Oh, yes, yeah.
We all probably have a number of Clayton Delaneys. You know, I mean, my heroes are my parents, I guess, and musically. You know, I mean, I did not have the experience Carreras had when he saw Mario Lanza play when he was 12 years old, or Wayne Newton when he saw Hank Williams when he was 5 years old.
I didn't know that one.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
And that's fun for me, too, because you never know who you're going to reach in an audience. You really don't. And the chances of really reaching somebody are pretty good. You'll just never find out about it, and that little kid will someday be a lot happier and more successful than you are, which is irritating. Irritates the Kingster.
What's the next track going to be?
Well, the next track is let's do Marilyn and Joe, okay?
Grand Idea.
There is a place where you can go, where Marilyn's still dancing with DiMaggio and Juliet with Romeo, and the name of the place is love. They put their hearts into a song. Ah, but hit parades and heroes, how they've come and gone. No one got home, but they got on. And the name of the game was love. There is a star high in the sky. There's a little piece of yesterday still in your eye, to show the dreamer never die. For we live in a place called love. There is a place where you can go, where Marilyn's still dancing with DiMaggio and Juliet with Romeo, and the name of the place is love, and the name of the place is love. We'll send that one out to Izzy. Izzy?
That's very nice, sending it out to someone who's actually in the room.
It is.
So defeating very much the purpose of radio, but still. It's maybe an even lovelier sentiment that it could have gone to so many, but in fact, the seed was spread to one, as
yes.
It were.
Well, if we can reach one person out there, we think we're a success.
Well, we're reaching one person in here. That's probably a defeat.
Very likely.
That was Marilyn and Joe, of course, by Kinky Friedman. The iconography of America is obviously very important to you.
Yeah, it's. I was thinking of Paul Simon's song. That's a beauty. We should have done that one. The one about. We did. Right. We have
American Tune is coming up later on in the show.
What is the name of that song? American Tune.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. And people said, "No, it's America." I said, "No, it's American Tune."
No, America is a Simon and Garfunkel song, I think. An American Tune is a different song by Paul Simon.
Is this just Paul Simon, or is it both of them?
Just Paul Simon.
Okay.
And let's come up later on. Let's discuss that later on.
Right, okay. Yeah, you know, a key thing here, Mark, I think, is that the really great work is almost always done accidentally. I mean, it's done by people who are trying to pay the rent or paying gambling debts or paying something like that. It's rarely done by somebody who sets out to paint their masterpiece or to write a great song. I mean, or to write the great American novel. I mean, this just doesn't happen. So it's written obliquely. And you got to keep that in mind, and the fact that you got to be miserable to do anything great, and you just have to. So I fight happiness at every turn.
Are you succeeding?
So far, pretty well. I've been miserable for about 62 years, but things are starting to look up now.
You're right about that, Kiki.
Marilyn and Joe, I was saying about the iconography, strangely enough, Mrs. Robinson, which is obviously a big influence on that song, is just as iconographic and a piece of Americana as the people mentioned in it, which is quite a strange turn of events.
Well, it is. Heroes are for export, too. I would say Martin Luther King means more to you guys probably than he does to many people in America. And Gandhi certainly is more loved. Well, I don't know if this is kind of being simplistic, but is very much loved outside of India, for instance. So a lot of these heroes are for export.
Although, strangely enough, Joe DiMaggio means very little in this country, apart from as a lyric in that song.
Yeah, that's right. Joe DiMaggio, they don't get. Yeah. I remember that in Australia. They only knew who Joe DiMaggio was because of Maryland.
Yeah, we don't get American sports. I don't get English sports either, so it's no slur on anyone.
It's like Judge Roy Bean and Lily Langtry, right?
That is correct, yeah. Right.
He eclipsed her fame eventually, even though he lived in awe of her,
Oh, I didn't get any of that. You see, it's
just as well, Mark.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Strangely, some things don't travel even a foot. Let's have another track from you, shall we?
Okay.
Are you ready? Yeah, you can have your sip of whatever that is.
It's Diet Hemlock. Let's see. How about
Rapid City, South Dakota?
Just a ragged kid in overalls. He thumbed a ride one day. He told me, "Anywhere you're going's on my way." But as we passed by Big Al's drive-in, his eyes began to flash. He was leaving Rapid City mighty fast. He said, "I hope to God she finds a goodbye letter that I wrote her." But the mail don't move so fast and rapid, City, South Dakota. Now he left her just a blanket of snow upon the farm. And that don't keep your conscience very warm. He said his friends were too darn country, and his paw was too damn mean, and there weren't no money pumping gasoline. And her gentle eyes, a merchandise of dreams, a peddler sold her, who left her there alone in Rapid City, South Dakota. And now the reason he was going, I ain't sure I could say. Might have been the rodeo in Santa Fe. There's a doctor in Chicago, I know she'll be all right, he told himself as he stared into the night. He said, "I hope to God she finds a goodbye letter that I wrote her." But the mail don't move so fast and rapid, City, South Dakota. And all her people treating her just like they never knowed her. And the winter's passing slow in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Beautiful stuff there from Kinky Friedman and the Drew Boys. Is that okay? Is that all right, couldn't you then?
Sure.
Sure, why not?
Why the hell not?
No, I was just checking. There was,
whatever works for you.
Of course, it can have a connotation. No, I didn't mean it in that way.
You didn't?
No, I promise you I didn't.
Why didn't you?
I will later on, when we get to it later on in the show. Rapid City, South Dakota, from Kinky Friedman and the fellows that he's with, and we'll have another track from them later on in the show.
I
America there by Simon and Garfunkel. Not American tune, as we were discussing earlier on in the show. Final choice of tonight's session artist, Kinky Friedman. I'm guessing you're going to finish on Rhythm Jewboy, are you?
No, well, this is a problem, because I was going to do Wild Man from Borneo.
Oh, well, you're more than welcome to do that. I just, I don't know, it's the song that I most associate with you, I think.
That's a shame.
No, you do whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
We can only do one, right? That's where we're limited to one there?
Yeah, but you can choose it. I
know, but I got to choose between Jew Boy or the one that I really want to do, Wild Man from Borneo.
No, but then do the one you really want to do. That's what choice
rid of this
is.
In-your-face Jewishness, you know, that...
Are you sick of it?
What do you mean?
Have you had enough of it now?
I might demonstrate. I'd like to demonstrate how Texans pronounce the word Jewish.
Oh, okay.
Juford, would you show us this? They do it with one syllable.
He's dish. He's dish.
Very good. And then, of course, when they pronounce the word Jew, it's always with about 11 syllables, such as Retza.
She married a Jew!
So that's pretty much it. Okay. Now,
That's handy to know, actually, because I would have, when Ratso did it, I would have worked out exactly what they meant. But when Jufa did it, I had no idea. The jish, I'd never heard that before.
Well, I'm glad to bring this to the forefront of your brain.
You know,
it's only on the sidelines.
Okay,
really.
Sorry about
still
that.
Trying to, this is a show.
Whatever you fancy. You don't have to do a song because I've requested it. You've already did one for
well,
me.
Well, I'd like to do Jubo.
Why do you want to pander to the crowd?
That'd be pandering. Would be
I know, it's not a crowd. It's only
never
me.
Never pander.
We already pandered with Silver Eagle Express one time. Yeah. You know? No, but I'd like to do Jew Boy, but I'd like to do Wild Man from
Borneo.
But Bar-
I want to be putting on the Ritz.
Well.
See? Oh.
Let's do two of those three. Do you know
can
what?
Can we discuss this maybe for 2 hours?
Can we just
no,
move?
Let's just do them both.
Are we taping this? I mean, it's...
Yeah, but we don't have to put...
Oh, we don't have to release
they know how to edit. Yeah. They know how to edit.
Okay.
Yeah, this bit will leave in. But not the songs. Well, there's no time for the songs anymore.
Let's quickly do Wild Man from Borneo, okay?
You know what? Do them both. That's fine.
I'm the star of Captain Midnight's traveling show. Came to this circus many moons ago. My mother's in your storybook, she loved a jungle king. Left me standing here alone inside the center ring. In a bamboo cage I crossed the raging sea. A living page torn clean from history. A hairy, scary, legendary, screaming souvenir. Don't you come too close to me now. Don't you come too near. What you want to see, ah, you come to see, but you never come to know. Tattooed lady left the circus train. Lost all her pictures in the rain. I wonder if you're happy. I wonder if you're free. Wonder if you'll ever know the mark you left on me. I'm the wild man from Borneo. You come to see what you want to see. You come to see, but you never come to know. We come to see what we want to see. Ah, we come to see, but we never come to know.
Kinky Friedman alongside Little Jewfoot and Washington Ratso on The Wild Man from Borneo. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier on, there'll be an extra bonus track on the BBC Radio 2 website, which is wherever you can possibly find it. Thanks a lot, fellas. That's been magnificent having you. And what are you up to at the moment? You've got a new book out, I know, haven't you?
Yeah, we have a political book out called You Could Lead a Politician to Water, But You Can't Make Him Think.
Right.
And,
And is that your escapades on the trail?
Oh, yeah,
the
governor's race. And Willie Nelson gave us a very good blurb for the back of the book, which is, criticize him all you want, just don't circumcise him anymore.
And what else is up with you at the moment? You touring? Have you got a new novel coming out at all?
Oh, yeah, there'll be next month is What Would Kinky Do? Coming out. And to that, we're just winding up a tour here. So we've done 18 shows in Europe, and it's been great. It's been a financial pleasure, and as Willie always says, we'll see you down the highway, Mark. And you would have made a great American, I think, Mark.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
Well, maybe not.
I didn't want to. It was that and Spaceman. They were two things as a kid. And I
would have made a great Catholic, and you would have made a great American.
Well, that's something to ponder.
That
yeah.
is. I was actually pondering as you said. You put me off.
Yes, I know.
I wish I was still pondering now.
I know.
Hell of a way to end the show.
I thought you were pondering. Actually,
I was pondering,
yes.
And then you brought
good
me
pondering,
off. You brought me out of my trance. It would have been good
yes.
pondering. All right then.
Okay.
All right. Peace.
You're welcome.
The God of your choice bless you.